We all want to build and leave a moral legacy. We want our lives to make a difference. And we all do build and leave a moral legacy, whether we're doing it consciously and intentionally or not. What we choose, what we do, counts in the world. And how we touch the world makes a difference. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes it feels the world's just too big, too complex, and nobody's going to notice our pain, our plight, the plot of our lives. But every little encounter creates part of a complex legacy. It's been said by wiser people than I that in the worst of people there is some goodness, and in the best of people there are flaws. If our legacies are the sum total of our actions and interactions, our legacies are going to be complex. And nobody's legacy, nobody's biography should be painted in one color or with a broad brush. We are what we respond to, what we see, what we choose not to see, what we say and what we choose not to say, what we condemn and what we tolerate and accept and celebrate. We are all builders of a legacy. One of the poems that people tend not to like because it seems to be too sentimental is the one about how we all leave footprints in the sands of time. But it's a very important image to me, because as we walk along, we do leave footprints in the sand. Sometimes they're delicate, ill-defined footprints as we're treading lightly on dry sand. Sometimes they're broad and sloppy. Sometimes you can see the limp as someone is walking in the sand. Sometimes the sand is dry and just a breeze seems to erase our path of where we have been. And we might not see it. And we might not believe that others see it. And sometimes the wet sand takes a deep imprint. And we leave something that is visible and that seems to be, at least as far as sand goes, fairly permanent as it dries. And you can see that accomplishment. And you can look back at it and say, this was at the moment good or bad. I come from a generation of the 60s, getting confused by the 60s. And one of the things that we celebrated in the 60s was peak experiences. We were all looking for peak experiences. And peak experiences are great. I love peak experiences. It's not where we lead our lives. We lead our lives in the mundane, in the everyday. This is not to say peak experiences are bad. I can remember very easily two very important peak experiences, actually both of them related to my wife. One, the look in her eyes as we stood under the wedding canopy, and I saw what was there, and I saw what she was feeling and I was feeling, and there was a magical connection. That moment is a peak experience. I remember also on our honeymoon panting out of breath. No, not what you think. We were young then. We were at the viewing platform just below the peak of the Matterhorn. And that moment of breathlessness in the beauty of nature and the starkness of that scene is literally and figuratively a peak experience. And I love it. I treasure it. It enriches me. When life is difficult, when we may be arguing, because believe it or not, people who love each other sometimes get into fights and skirmishes and battles. Those moments, I saw that, those moments are a treasury upon which I can draw. But my life and my love. And our love is manifest in everyday sorts of things. In dishes washed and dishes not washed. In toothpaste tubes, well, you can't take the cap off anymore, but that are left open and squeezed in the middle. I won't say who does that one. It is in a sense of blessedness in waking up every morning and seeing the face of my wife, my lover, my best friend, and having them be the same person. That's really nice. It's the everyday part of life where we live and where we construct the most important parts of our legacies. When we live, we give examples to each other and to our children. There's a saying, the children are watching. The children are watching. They're not necessarily listening. In fact, they're probably not listening now that I think about it. But they are watching what we do. And they come to know us by what we do, by how we spend our time with them, by how we listen to them attentively or just turn away from them, about how we know everything and can tell them exactly what to do. But then they look at us and say, well, just a second. Am I supposed to do what you do or do what you say? And it is in the doing that our legacies are created, not in the saying. We are all teachers as well as builders of legacies. We are all teachers by example. I don't remember any facts that I learned from my great teachers. I remember lots of facts, but I can't associate them with one particular teacher or one particular lecture. What I remember is an attitude. An attitude that let me explore, that let me grow, that celebrated learning, that celebrated creativity. I remember how my teachers were, not the facts. If I remember 1066 for the Norman invasion, fine, but I don't know where I got it. If I remember, anybody know the last king of Albania? King Zog. I don't know where in the world that little minutiae factoid came from, and it's not important. What's important is I had teachers and I had parents who valued learning and exploration and not indoctrination. I grew up in a very liberal household. My mother was a Democratic National Committee woman, a delegate to several national conventions. And when I was going through my... who's the kid on Keaton? Michael? The Michael Fox character. When I went through my rebellion, I said, you know, young people, you won't understand this. William Noland, who was running for senator, really has something good to say about anti-unionism and the right to work. I probably believed that for the moment just in order to annoy my parents, which I thought was my job. And my parents reacted harshly by taking me to a Noland meeting and rally. That is modeling, empowering a child to think, to explore, and to legitimize those explanations. Those are the way that we convey and transmit what our values are. It's one thing to say, I'm a liberal and I like everyone. It's another thing to treat people with respect across all of those false divisions that we have created. Small things create legacies. When I grew up, there was a little blue can at the center of our dining room table. It's called a pushka. And it's a little savings box that you put charity money in. So as a child, I didn't need a lecture on you should be charitable. You should think of things outside of our family. I had an example of my parents putting money in every week and of me putting part of my allowance in every week. And that disappeared from my life. It is why we have a food basket. A lot of churches, a lot of temples have food baskets out in the hallway. It is a legacy from my parents' values and how I experienced, and no one told me, that I wanted to move this symbol and substance of our responsibility to be connected from the secular into the sacred and make it a part of our ritual. It's a small thing. I don't say it makes all the difference in the world, but it is a piece of legacy that was handed to me that I then continue and hand on. Little things in our lives and how we treat each other and how we learn mean a lot. The song, Teach Your Children Well, has always touched me, despite the fact that when I was working in nightclubs in the mid-1960s, I had the most terrible professional experience working with David Crosby of I ever had in working with talent. It was absolutely impossible. And yet, the art of the song drew me in, and I didn't turn the radio off because I had a bad experience with Dave. And years later, we made peace. We met and we talked and we bridged the gap and divide that we couldn't in our youth. But in the wisdom that occasionally comes as we mature, which occasionally comes as we age, there is the ability not to change the past, but to heal the present and to be able to separate the art from the artists. But back to the song. We teach our children with everything that we do. We give them our dreams, and they are the dreams that they will grow by, and they are the dreams that we will be known by. And so when we act, we cannot think that no one is watching. We all know the dangers of social media now. Be very careful out there. But whether you have a Twitter account or a Facebook account or a smartphone or a dumb phone, we are all involved in social media. Putting ourselves out there figuratively naked in every interaction. So if we think our kids aren't listening, if we think others aren't observing, we're wrong. We live in social space with one another. We also are part, really, of a relay race, of transmitting our values. We got them somewhere from our parents, and we could not know our parents' fears. I couldn't know my parents' fears. I knew, of course, about the Great Depression. I knew, of course, about World War II and the Shoah and the Pacific Theater and all of those things, but I couldn't know it. I could know it, but I couldn't know it. Our children can't know what we went through, but we have to try to communicate it. And as we communicate, we open ourselves up also for learning. By our pupils will be taught. In every action and interaction, there is an exchange of information, potentially of turning people off or turning people on, of closing doors and of opening doors. Teachers, which is to say everyone, we are all involved in trying to open the doors of learning, in communicating consciously and intentionally what we value. Our values, ourselves, they come from somewhere. We're not isolated in this one tiny flash of light, in this one moment of history. We are all involved in a great relay race, a race that began before we were born, where people worked and fought and struggled to find life and meaning and community. They handed off to us, and we, of course, thought that they did nothing but stumble and stammer and really didn't do much of a job, and we were going to do much better. We have to believe that. That's our job, and then we carry that baton of our lives across terrain, some of it dry, some of it sandy, some of it muddy, some of it hilly. We stumble, we fall, we are bruised, and then we come to another generation and we hand that baton off with all of our wisdom, all of our folly. We are all teachers. We are all passing on legacies, part of which we were given, all of which we should examine and then pass on consciously, not as others have said, as trying to imprint ourselves or to control them, it'll only annoy them and frustrate us, but so that they might know us by not what we say, but by what we do, by the love that they have felt, the embrace and the freedom and the nourishment that we have given to the future. Whether they are our biological children or not, they are biological children. And they need to be touched. They need to be held. They need to be loved. They need to be set free. They need to be taken to places that you don't want to go. And we need to accompany them sometimes and let go sometimes. And will we do a perfect job? Just as perfect a job as our parents. We too will make mistakes, build and leave mixed legacies. But that is how we live our lives. Teaching is not imparting information. Teaching is imparting experiences and values. It is in the everydayness of how we spend our time with our aging parents, our growing children, and our new grandchildren. It's how we spend our time with our immediate family and our extended family. Perfection will never be achieved, and that's okay. We don't want to make it too hard for our children to surpass us. But it's important that we don't take the absolute pessimistic view that is so easy and cynical. The idea that the world is just going to hell. And that it's just always been going to hell. Because, of course, it has. And sometimes you look at the world and you just say, oh, I just don't want to tune in. And even NPR, never mind talk radio. I just don't want to read the newspaper. People just, there's no learning. And then other times you say, no, no, it's wonderful. We are building and passing on from generation to generation things that are making the world better. And I believe that. I feel sometimes the despair, but I believe when I look at the world and the obstacles that my generation got mired in, tripped in, wallowed in, I see tremendous progress. Things that we had to choose that were acts of courage in terms of religious tolerance, ethnic celebration of our differences, acceptance leading to celebration of different lifestyles and sexual orientations. Our kids are just not that into it. I'm glad our generation struggled with it, and there are some values that seem to have been, at least for the short term, won. There's always a challenge, there's always a counter-revolution, we always have to pay attention. But do not think that the battle is lost. Do not think that we make no progress. We have come a long way. And in the words of one of my favorite songs called The Work Song, and we still got so terrible long to go, which means that whatever your age, there is something to teach, there's something to learn. There are examples to be set by how we are in the world out there and in the world with each other.